From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Hi, Dave Sobel here from the Business of Tech podcast, today with Joseph Brunsman. Joseph, welcome to Business of Tech.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dave.
So let's, before we dive in, why don't you give everybody a little bit of background on who you are and why you're thinking about the managed services space?
Sure. So my background is I'm a former IT. I have a degree in robotics, used to be called systems engineering, but it confused everybody, so they changed the name. From the United States Naval Academy and a master's in cybersecurity law. And I really just, it kind of started where the MSP community just really appreciated, you know, just kind of like some general considerations about insurance that I was putting out there. I'm an insurance broker by trade, specializing in cyber insurance and technology errors and omissions insurance. And so it just kind of hit off from there. And then I just kind of went down this rabbit hole because I love nerding out with other people that love nerding out on stuff. So that's kind of the genesis for all this.
So as we were warming up, you and I hit on a couple of things that's when I was like, all right, we're hitting record and we're going to record this. I wanted to talk a little bit first around your thinking on insurance, like E&O versus cyber, and sort of what needs to be in there. Because you said a couple of things that were certainly interesting to me in the way that I was thinking about insurance, because that's going to be the baseline for our conversation. So tell me a little bit about your thinking about what an MSP needs, what a technology service provider needs from an E&O perspective.
Sure. So from an E&O perspective, the one thing that, you know, I would say everybody needs to understand is that all those policies are different, right? So obviously they have to look at their own policy, but generally speaking, tech E&O has really two parts to it. There's something called third party and first party. So third party would be a client sues you for something, and a first party would be like, say you have a breach of your system and you're going to need forensics and potentially an attorney, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's really kind of like two sides to the tech E&O world, which becomes important because increasingly it seems like a lot of MSPs are going, okay, well, do I need cyber insurance? That's like the next big question.
That is the next big question.
So I did make a video about this on my YouTube channel where people can get a little more of the specifics, but the gist of it is, a lot of that first party coverage that I was talking about, you know, most tech E&O policies will have, you know, some provisions for credit monitoring, breach notification, the forensics, the attorneys, et cetera. Cyber insurance actually grew out of the tech E&O world. So in most circumstances, if you get a cyber policy with a tech E&O policy, you could have an overlap in coverage. Now, that's not good because there's something called a mutually repugnant other insurance clause.
The best name clause ever.
Yes, the MROICS. And it's not like having twice as much insurance is twice as good. What that boils down to is, depending upon the circumstance, if you have an issue, you could end up actually paying both those deductibles, but still only having the same level of insurance that you would have had to begin with. So it really depends upon the business. There are certain things in a cyber policy. So for example, we were talking about bricking coverage, crypto jacking, like voluntary shutdown, business interruption coverage.
Right.
There are specific coverages that you really can only find in a cyber policy that you can't find in a tech E&O policy. But it's really going to depend upon that specific business.
Okay.
So I'd say for most MSPs, probably not going to get a cyber policy.
Okay. So now that we think about that, knowing, okay, they're generally going to have that. The bit I want you to help us understand is, tell me what's going on in the insurance market. Here's the context for that question. So I keep talking to MSPs. I've got several of them that are all telling me that mm-hmm. their insurance is going up dramatically, that it is, you know, they're seeing 40% increases. I talked to one MSP who was talking about the fact that they were initially denied because they ran their technology on their own servers rather than in the mm-hmm. cloud. It's clear that this market is getting a little wise to what's going on in the MSP space. From your perspective as an expert on the insurance side, sure. what's happening to the market here?
So it's a confluence of different events that are actually coming together, which is increasing the cost of insurance for MSPs. Part of it is actually just COVID-19 related, where okay. various insurers, they're putting back these huge reserves because they're not really sure how the courts are going to deal with those business interruption losses. So they're saying, okay, maybe we have to put a few billion dollars in this bucket just to wait. So in the meantime, we have shareholders, right? We have a stock price. Obviously, the CEO is very sensitive to that. So we need to raise rates in some of these, you know, historically kind of lower premium businesses because we think that, you know, we can kind of pad the stats there to bring that in. The other part of it is obviously the regulatory environment. So we're going to get into that.
Yeah.
That has insurance companies scared. Anytime a new line of regulations comes out, they're very sensitive to that. The other part of it is really the lawsuit environment, right? So what is the legal environment that's currently occurring? And I would say increasingly, and we spoke about this before, you know, at the end of last year, I talked 3 different businesses out of suing their MSP following a breach of their system. And as I'm looking at kind of the legal record across the United States and talking to more and more MSPs, there are more lawsuits that are being brought against MSPs specifically for a breach. So
that's the trend I've been seeing too. That's the trend. And we've reported on my show, I've reported about a number of these lawsuits. They're starting to happen more. It's interesting to hear you saying you're talking people out of it. That almost says that there's another whole group of lawsuits that were talked about that didn't happen. Is it a fair statement to sort of think of this, that the insurance companies are realizing there's a lot more risk here than there was before?
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, I'd say, you know, I went through something called Westlaw, which is like the giant compendium of all lawsuits in the United States, like going back to before the revolution.
Right.
It was really hard historically to find any lawsuit that really centered around, you know, an IT service provider or an MSP or a SaaS provider. They didn't even have the names right. So it was really hard to just even have a court define what that thing was. And then you see it's starting to ramp up now because, you know, it's a tough economic environment anyways, you know, for both the insurance companies and for the clients of MSPs. And they're getting sued for things that you wouldn't imagine that there would be a lawsuit for. So for example, you know, the bookkeeper at an MSP's client wired $2 million out the door to some like malicious third party and that disappears. Well,
classic phishing attack, right?
Classic. And, you know, easy to overcome in retrospect. But what's that company going to do? Are they going to go out of business, fire all their employees, let everybody off? Are they going to go to their own insurance company and hope to God it gets covered? Maybe they don't have the right insurance for that. They're going to come back against the MSP. So there are instances where I would argue that legitimately the MSP should face legal action for some sort of negligence or malpractice. But then there's also a whole slew of lawsuits where it's somebody's out a ton of cash. They don't understand technology, which is why they had that MSP in the first place. Arguably that MSP probably could have provided additional controls or at least offered them to try and prevent that. But needless to say, when you have millions of dollars on the line, people start getting a little litigious, I would say.
Well, and the analogy I keep using on this is let's call out what's happening, right? Armed gangs of organized criminals are breaking into businesses using weaponry, right? Because we can distinctly call this stuff weapons, and they're holding business owners hostage. If this were happening in the streets, there'd be calls for police action and government intervention of the chaos. And we know as technology people, this is happening every single day.
Yes. So,
that's setting this realm, and I think we're sort of saying it's fair to say the insurance companies are waking up to that. Now,
oh, Absolutely.
So the other thing you mentioned is let's talk a little bit about the regulatory environment, because obviously I've covered that on the show, and you came to my attention partly because you also mentioned this in your own YouTube channel, talking about this story of what's going on in Louisiana. Now I think we could riff on the law itself, but I actually more want to think, because it's interesting, and but let's talk about this landscape and what regulators are thinking. I think that's the more important bit. Sure. You brought up some of your thinking on where their heads are at in terms of what they're doing and how these laws get created. From your perspective, what's happening here from a regulation perspective?
So I think from a regulation perspective, various entities within the states, so whether it's attorney generals, secretaries of states, various legislation bodies, as it were, they understand that there's a problem. They don't really have anybody to go to help them understand that problem, which I think is probably the biggest takeaway from this. They don't really have the background to understand this problem, but they're like, okay, we have to do something.
Right.
And so what ends up happening is they do something that is arguably worse than probably having done nothing at all, because there wasn't the requisite input necessary to actually make that statute meaningful and, really have purpose behind what they were trying to do. So, I think increasingly we're going to see, it's just like the California breach notification law. California was the first law to pass for breach notification. Nobody really cared. And then all the states followed and the dominoes fell.
Right.
And so for MSPs, I think it's going to be much the same way.
So I would assume it's fair to say, and you have a little bit more expertise, the insurance companies have lobbyists and regulators to get involved here, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely. Right.
And I would think that the way this normally happens, if you think about it from your expertise on that side, they're going to be a contributing factor, right? It's fair to fair to think. So what's missing here? What's missing to get this right from your perspective?
So what I think needs to happen in a quick hurry, and I mean, like, this has to start now, because, you already had that shot across the bow, is there have to be state societies for MSPs. Like, I think that's just the best solution to all of this, because every other profession, right? So when I say MSPs, including MSSPs,
right.
But every other profession, they have those state societies, and the primary function of those state societies is to actually lobby on behalf of their members. And so unless there's kind of this upswell and organization in the MSP community to actually create these state societies, right, do some sort of, self-governing with a code of ethics, et cetera, I think that increasingly states are just going to throw legislation on service providers that is bad legislation, that doesn't necessarily make sense, that doesn't necessarily fix the problem. But nonetheless, if that law gets passed, that's the law. And so I think it behooves everybody in this industry to, really start thinking about, okay, yes, I hear a lot of grumbling about, yes, there's some bad MSPs out there and, they need to be regulated. I get that. So I think the industry, in and of itself needs to start thinking about, okay, how do we fix that problem and how do we steer the ship moving forward so that the legislation that does get passed, because it's going to come one way or another, is actually like pertinent and useful to both MSPs as well as, kind of the public at large.
So you said something that I agree with, and I'm going to jump on it a little bit, is it's happening one way or the other. So what would you say to those providers who are out there going, well, I'm good enough, I'm good at my job, I don't need to worry about this because, they'll pass it, but I'm good enough and I've already, I'm delivering better than any law. What would you say to those providers?
So I would say, quite frankly, you don't know what you're talking about, honestly, because when you say you're better than any law, we don't know how that law is going to be interpreted. So what you're essentially saying is, hey, I would wager hundreds of thousands of dollars that I'm doing better than the other guy. And personally, like, I would not do that, right? Like, I want to know what the law means. I want to make sure that at the minimum, I'm compliant with that. And in a lot of regards, the way that these laws are written is, when it comes to enforcement and actually interpreting some of the provisions of these laws, the government's the hammer and someone's going to be the nail. And so to actually create a standard in the court system about what somebody's supposed to be doing, they're just going to bring some monster lawsuit against an organization. And then that organization, I mean, are you going to fight the state? Like, you don't have the funding that the state has, and they're going to make an example out of you. So I would just say, like, they're on the wrong side there, right? If they think they're going to escape this, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
The other refrain that I keep hearing is this idea of, well, government gets it wrong all the time. So, you know, so what does it matter? What is that? Do you think, is it essentially the same argument, or do you think there's another reason to, mm-hmm. to say differently when someone says that?
Well, so, you know, I do insurance for really all types of organizations. Specifically when you look at, you know, other professional services organizations, such as accounting firms, law firms, architects, engineers, frequently they actually get it right. And the reason they can get it right is because they have this huge body of members that are lobbying that state to actually influence the legislation in a meaningful way. So I think the better argument is, yeah, the government's going to get this almost entirely wrong, except by accident, unless the community actually moves forward and has these bodies where they can actually start influencing that legislation. It's going to happen, right? As we keep saying, it's going to happen one way or another. So you might as well, you know, have a meaningful voice in that piece of legislation. And let's say something bad gets passed. Well, that's what those state societies are for, right? They go back and they try and get that legislation changed. They can put together all of the pertinent data sets necessary to prove to that lawmaker that, hey, this isn't working how we thought it was going to work. Here's a better example of something we think that would be more meaningful to actually get to the root of the problem.
So we've talked about the community of MSPs that need to get involved. And we've also talked about kind of the insurers and how they're probably going to get involved. Who do you think the other kind of key stakeholders in this discussion are that need to be pulled together?
Let me think. So, you know, probably any other like industry experts. So like, you know, people in like the certification sphere, I think that's going to be a huge element on the input here, because eventually there's going to be some minimum certification probably that an MSP has to have.
Right.
And, you know, we're already seeing that with other types of government regulations, for example, CMMC, if you're a government contractor. So there's going to be these minimum levels of certification necessary to provide services to, for example, financial services companies, or let's say, you know, merchants, you know, dealing with PCI DSS and payment card stuff. I think there's going to be increasingly some level of certification that has to happen there. So I would personally love to see, you know, someone like CompTIA or whoever it would be actually coming forward and saying, okay, well, here's kind of like some minimum baselines of certification that we think legislatures could actually rely upon in a meaningful way. Otherwise, it's, you know, if a guy hangs a shingle and says, hey, I'm an MSP, well, then they're going to compare that to the guy who's like, well, I'm a CPA, I'm licensed through the state, right? I've got 150 credit hours, I had to pass an exam that's overseen by the state, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just not going to hold water. So there's going to have to be some meaningful certification there from, I think, those certification bodies that just have decades of experience doing this,
right,
to help kind of guide that ship to a meaningful place.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, I really appreciate you taking some time to talk to me. If I'm going to give you the sort of the last question or your option, if I can give you the magic wand, right, and you can wave it and give whatever piece of knowledge or impart mastery to this group, what would be that takeaway for technology services provider?
So obviously I'm an insurance guy. So I guess first thing would be like, hey, make sure you have the right insurance. Probably number two would be make sure your clients have cyber insurance. But as pertinent to this conversation, you know, I would just tell people that the time is coming, right? Like the industry has gotten this far. You've done well, you've grown without that type of regulation. That time is over. You're now large enough where the government's starting to really take a close look at what you're doing. And so really it's up to every MSP, because, you know, right now it's just kind of this like loose confederation of people all across the country. And if every MSP just goes, well, I'm going to let somebody else deal with that, then no one's going to deal with it and it's going to be an issue. So there's nothing stopping you know, the biggest MSP in every state from just getting together, working with the other MSPs and saying, okay, let's at least start trying to solve this problem and move forward in a way that's productive for everybody, because it's coming.
I think that's the big takeaway. Well, again, thanks for thanks for chatting with me. And if listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
So they can find me on LinkedIn, Joseph E. Brunsman. They can find me on YouTube, Joseph Brunsman. They can just search my name. I think I'm the only guy there with Joseph Brunsman. And then if they really have like a deep burning question, they can always just shoot me an email. My contact information is all over the web. So help out everybody as well as I can.
Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Remember, you can support directly at patreon.com/MSP and get the opportunity to vote on what topics are covered next. Thanks for listening and talk to you tomorrow.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.